The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Thursday, September the 18th, Scottish Independence Day, perhaps, Lord. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 7:06 in the morning, Bad Bob, good morning.
Addy.
That's it? Addy? What is that?
That's not Scottish.
Would you get off your mule when you walked in today?
What?
Anyway, and of course, it's Thursday. It's Trish Clark.
Good morning, North State.
Trish calls. She says, I can make it. And I went, yeah. Come on down, Trish.
All right.
Got a big day today.
Yeah.
We have a big day today. Patrick Wallner's coming in. And also Doug Christian, who is the heads up that Shasta Humanity Project, wanting to put that homeless village together.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
And he sounds like a very sincere man. And I like, so it'd be interesting to see what his plans are for this and what the bottom line is for the whole village.
I think it's interesting to get all sides of any issue.
Yeah, we need to do that. Yeah. Anyway, what's the weather look like today?
Well, the weather looks like it's 67 degrees right now. There's a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 11 a.m. this morning. We're getting reports that the radar is showing light rain near Shingletown.
Yeah, that was Whiskeytown, ma'am.
Whiskeytown. No, I'm sorry, near Whiskeytown.
It's a W there.
And there's a chance of precipitation is 50%. Partly cloudy tonight, sunny and hot by Friday. So we've got a little bit of a chance of rain. And the Shasta weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. And give them a call at 365-3793.
Yeah, and you know what? I knew it was going to rain today. And how did I know that? This is the day that Mark and I were going to go for a motorcycle ride. You know, I got them all cranked up and, you know, ready to go. And so I walk out this morning and it smells like, first of all, it already smelled like it was raining.
Uh-huh.
And I walked out and it wasn't, but we're surrounded by these heavy clouds, which, you know what, people should hire me to come to an area that never has rain, and I'll just bring my motorcycle, and when I get it ready to go for a ride, the clouds will come in.
We had some thunder and lightning around the area last night over in Trinity County, I know, and I'm hoping there were no new fires started as a result of that.
Well, you know, the weather rock, however, which is never wrong, is still dry.
Mm.
So now, however, it is tough for the weather rock to be right all the time if it's kept inside.
Limitation of the technology of weather rocks.
That's right. That's the only limitation it has is if you keep it inside, weather rock will make a few mistakes.
I'm thinking that's a possibility.
There you go. You know, everybody says, you know, how do you get up in the morning every morning and, you know, just come in and actually make sense when you're talking? And, and I said, it's not every day I do, but, you know, most of the days I do is because I get a great night's sleep on my sleep number. And I've moved my sleep number setting up to 45, which is still, you know, nothing close to yours.
Mine is 55, and, you know, it took me a long time to actually light there. I went up and down, but that's 99% of the time it's set at 55.
Well, you know, not only can you have the dual air technology, but in the new Sleep IQ technology that Sleep Number has, and what that does is it kind of like it follows your sleeping habits and will give you suggestions on hey, perhaps you ought to go to 50, you know, go up five mm-hmm. or 10 and see how you sleep on that for a few days, because, you know, you're kind of restless and, you know, but it tells you senses you moving around, mm-hmm. and you can get this in all the brand new Sleep Number beds. when you go down to the Sleep Number store right in the Target shopping center and you see Janice or Brian, the thing about it is they put you on the bed and you lay there. And this is how we found ours. And you adjust it till it feels good. And it also has a computer printout or a showing of the hot spots when you're laying there. So what is where you're putting all the pressure on? And then you adjust the bed, and they just go away. I mean, this is how it works. And, well, you've had the bed for...
I've had my bed for over 10 years, and I love it. It's a great bed.
You've never had a problem with it? It's made in America. It's guaranteed.
And they are guaranteed. If you do have issues, I had an issue with a pump. And they just replaced it outright, no problem.
Yeah, they just come by and just do that because it's Sleep Number. And Sleep Number technology is absolutely fabulous. So right now you can get a C2 Queen mattress with Sleep IQ technology for under $1,000. That's right. So how much is a good night's sleep worth? When you have to be
priceless.
When you have to be perky in the morning. There you go. Hey, I'd like to do a big shout-out to Jim and Roberta Wright. They came up with a check today for our Liberty Along the Border.
Sharp.
And what did I say?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharp. I'm sorry, Jim.
Jim and Bonnie Sharp.
I'm sorry. I just went blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Jim and Bonnie Sharp. Excuse me. How did I do that?
I don't know. I know them both.
Yeah. But anyway, Jim and Bonnie Sharp. Who gave us a donation for our Liberty Along the Border. And as we're talking and be telling people is it's going to be starting in October. It's going to be just a great event. It talks about the lead up into the Civil War itself, and then this huge, huge, huge effect the Civil War had on our country and probably still does up to a point and for sure into the 60s and 70s. And this is going to be a great exhibit. It has nothing to do with, with Measure A, I'm sorry, Measure B, nothing at all. This is just another example of a great exhibit that comes to Turtle Bay. And we as KCNR have pledged to help bring it here. And we're opening it up to all of our listeners to come in. And it's going to be on the website today. We're going to put a PayPal on our website, a connection to that. And you can help us bring something like this, which is really cool.
Oh, it's absolutely. I think it's going to be marvelous.
It is. You can touch it. It's got tents and guns and uniforms and dioramas and everything there. And then the day when it's open, they're going to have, I believe reenactors are going to be there. We want veterans to be a part of this, and then along with what's happening along our own border. I mean, there's some parallels for that with what's happening right now with us. So, it goes into, it talks about all the reasons that terrible war started, and it wasn't just all over slavery.
No, it absolutely wasn't. When I did my tour of the southeastern states a couple of years ago, I learned so much about the Civil War and the real realities of it, the impact on for families for generations. Actually, a lot of places in the South, the Civil War is not over. They're still fighting it.
Well, you know what?
The Northern aggression.
The Northern aggression. Yeah, but I tell you what, when you go into, but there's places in the North that you could, if you did not know where you were at, you would swear you're in the South.
Yeah.
In some of their ideas of how things should be handled. Anyway, but it's going to be great. So we'd like y'all to become part of us with this. And, we'll be talking more about it as we go along. Anyway, okay, Trish, let's take a quick break because there's a lot of things we need to talk about today. I want to talk about weed, but also not just the fires, but what's happening over with our Congress and ISIS. And then anything else you want to talk about?
Well, you'll probably push some buttons before the end of the day.
That's right. We'll be right back. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. This is KCNR 1460, your talk radio station.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Bye, honey.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to the Paint Mart. I want to match paint colors with wallpaper and new window blinds.
And just how are you going to do all that?
Paint Mart has this wonderful new PPG Voice of Color touchscreen where you can design paint colors, pick and choose PPG paints for walls and trim. Then I can pick out my wallpaper, blinds, and drapes, all with the ease of a large touchscreen. It's great.
At the Paint Mart, we have a design consultant to help you select the perfect PPG paint for interior, exterior, primers, and stains, including low VOC options with elegant, durable finishes and over 1,900 colors to choose from. We also carry wallpaper, custom blinds, draperies, and shutters. Paint smart with the paint professionals at the Paint Mart, home of quality PPG paint, Redding, Anderson, and Red Bluff.
Come to Paint Mart for service and quality.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with Sit-Down Dinner, Live and Silent Auction, and Basket Drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Carl Butt and Trish Clark on the spot with Linda Butt tonight. Enjoy magazines rolling in tonight. Great show, 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. We're just down there. Yesterday, the day before.
Ooh, did you spend some money?
Oh, well, you know what? We were trying to. Linda didn't find the exact set of pearls that she wanted. Thank goodness. But Leonard, it wasn't because Leonard didn't have a lot of them.
He was trying.
But he was also, they were also repairing my watch. And I have this nice watch, but it, water somehow went down the stem. And I don't know how I did that, but I must have been stuck in a rainstorm or something. But they're replacing it and I'll get it back today. I mean, it's the only trained watch repair guy around in the whole area. Plus, Leonard has just got just a amazing estate jewelry pieces.
Oh, yes.
She would have bought it, just, but we would have had to, I think I would have had to sell Bad Bob.
Uh-huh.
You know, so,
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
that's beautiful things. Oh. Last time I was in there, he went to the indoor safe and oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. 2225 Hilltop, right across from Sierra Gibbs, Four Winds Jewelry. Okay. And just because I know that you know Mr. Ensomo, and it looks like the rezone request has been okayed again by the panel.
Yes, it went before the Planning Commission yesterday, and they were quite cooperative. They took out some mysterious language that popped up along the way, and we got that straightened out from the staff. Yes, and yes. So now it's on its way back again to the Board of Supervisors, and hopefully this time they'll approve it, and we can move forward.
They've made the changes, what they wanted. So it's been approved, and so the Board of Supervisors vote on it. Then the whole thing can move forward. The auction can move forward. The beautiful facility up there can move forward. And just for people to know this auction, somebody said, guess he's just going to, what if he takes some little amount? I said, no, that's not the way it works. This auction here is, they don't have to accept
He can choose to continue it. He can, take it off if the opening bids are not adequate. So he doesn't have to sell it for less than it's worth. And the whole point here is to be able to turn over this marvelous venue as a turnkey operation so that we can continue as residents and as a county to enjoy the venue and get that wonderful tax base that's being created with the payroll, the property tax, the sales tax, bed tax, all of the money that's spent by that organization in purchases from other businesses throughout Shasta County to run that marvelous venue. So there's a great tax base there, and we're hoping that we can continue to have that there. The new owner can come in, build the beautiful little 18-room boutique hotel and spa, wellness center kind of thing. We're not talking Motel 6 here. We're talking,
you're talking about a really nice retreat venue. That fly into our airfield here.
Exactly.
And you get a ride up there, and they stay there for a week, and then they disappear.
Exactly. And so they don't cause a huge...
The only impact they have is on our tax base.
That's exactly right.
And that's the way you want to do it. Okay.
So that's our hope.
Well, that's just... you know what? It's moving forward. Everybody's working together now. As it should be. Bipartisan support for Obama's plan to arm the Syrian rebels. However, he did promise that there would be no troops on the ground in Syria.
And we, of course, believe his promises.
Well, arming the Syrian rebels, maybe if they had done this 5 years ago or four, 3 years ago, I'm not 5 years, but maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago when the thing first started with, against Assad, I think you had more clearly delineated who are the rebels. Now, I think when you start arming rebels who their main mission is just to fight Assad, they could care less about ISIS, or maybe they are part of ISIS. You'll never know. But we say we're going to do airstrikes into Syria. I mean, and so we're doing airstrikes into a sovereign nation. And whether you like it or not, Syria is a sovereign nation. And as the Iraqi president says, well, wait a minute, and this whole big coalition we put together, where's Iran? An Iraqi president says, I don't want to have American troops staying here. So we've got it. But if you've got them on the ground right now to train the Iraqi army, which, by the way, is, as our guys have said, is that over half of them are can't fight or don't know how to. And I'm thinking of all the years that we spent there training them. I'm thinking of the lives we lost training them to get them up to strength. And I'm just picturing, because we were trying to stand them up there back in 2006, and it was such a mess. And I'm thinking, I wonder if it's gone back to that, where we had in a regiment, one of the battalion commanders refused to he had twice as many rifles as he was supposed to. The other battalion had half as many as they should, and he refused to share. Yeah. And you couldn't get him to give him an order to share the rifle. Those are my rifles. But you didn't buy them. Those were given to you by the government. These are my rifles.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Carl, you have such a deeper understanding of this. For me, it's from a layperson's point of view, if you will, because I don't know all that stuff. But we were talking earlier about the Civil War. And that was, those are clearly defined kind of battles. I mean, they wore different colored uniforms. You knew who the enemy was. And what I picture when I look at these things, we don't even know who the enemy is in a lot of ways. Nobody's dressed like...
Well, we didn't know a lot of times until they shot at you.
Well, exactly. And that can be a small child or a woman or whatever. And this is, these are difficult circumstances to try to get a handle about. Are we arming the right people? Are the guns and things that we're sending over there going to benefit the side that we want? And all of their beliefs and are different than ours, This is a real quagmire for me.
Yeah, for people to figure out, you know,
who in the world is the enemy and who is our friend?
And why are they fighting? Now, the other thing, too, is that is a Democratic congressman says this, and he said, you know what? This is the best solution in a long list of bad options. Yeah, you know, when they voted on this thing to arm, because it is. And I'll tell you what, it goes back to Obama not having a SOFA agreement, of not being able to get a status of forces agreement with Iraq at that time to be able to leave those 10,000 or 15,000 troops, we were going to say, to leave them there, to keep the people trained, to help, you know, guard the border, and to keep stuff like this happening. And when we pulled out, there wasn't a military man or a State Department official or anybody that didn't look at that and say, how long is it going to take? 3-4 years before this comes apart and we're going to have to go back and do something. And it happened. You know, now we're in the middle of a battle up there. They're controlling the oil fields in some of these areas. Now the Kurds want to, you know, the Kurds are going to fight. They've taken back a town, but now they're going to go back after Mosul. Well, they can't do Mosul by themselves. So now there's already going to be the talk of advisors going with them to help them. Yeah. You know, and that could be calling in fire. That can be calling in air. But the point is that we got them on the ground fighting again. And it's just like we were supposed to do before, is that you trained them. We put our contact teams out there. They would train them, and then the Iraqis would go in to fight. But I guarantee you, in many, 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 many firefights, it was the Americans leading those firefights.
Yes.
Because the Iraqis just weren't up to it. And, I mean, including one where the Iraqis refused to attack, to take back this town, and it turned out that the Americans did the attack themselves, all five of them.
Every time I hear the term advisors, military advisors, I flash back to Vietnam 64.
There you go. And, you know,
we know how that turned out.
We started out with 500 advisors in Vietnam. The thing is, we've been in Iraq before, and this type of thing is ISIS a threat? Yes, but did it have to be? No. ISIS never had to get off the ground. It was allowed to get off the ground because of Obama and the State Department letting Libya go to pieces, Syria go to pieces, Egypt.
And him drawing lines in the sand.
Drawing, you know, a line in the sand and his red line.
Yeah.
What the hell is a red line? And I tell you what I think about red lines. And Bush said that. I'm drawing a line in the sand. What does that mean? A sand. You're drawing a line in the sand. The wind blows. It's gone. You know, and that's it. You know, the winds of political change. Oh, I'm drawing this line in the sand. Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And when I hear people say, I'm drawing a line in the sand, so what? Here, let me scuff. Here, I just scuffed your line over. Draw a line in concrete. I'm etching this in steel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
Yes. Absolutely. No.
Right up there with Hussein's line of death. Remember that?
No, it was the road of death.
Whatever it was.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe
there was a line of
across,
death.
Yeah, if you come across the road and kill everybody. Yeah, well, it's all.
Yeah.
He's moldering in the grave.
Well, I'll tell you, there's so much discussion about all of this and what to do and where to go and so many countries involved. I'm thinking that this is a very difficult time for our military.
It is, because they're getting their pay cut. You know what? They put a cap on their pay raise. They're forcing men and women out. They're forcing them out while they're in combat. They get a pink slip while they're in combat. You know, incredible leadership there, Army and Obama. Hey, you've got to take patrols out. Here's your pink slip.
Yeah. So when you get back from this patrol, pack up and get out of here.
No. We're going to keep you here for another 3 or 4 months.
We're going to keep sending you out. Yeah.
Keep sending you out, and then we're going to send you home. Then you get out. You know, about your kid and your wife and kids. Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, you know, I'm sure they'll be taken care of. We treat illegals better than that.
Yes,
we
do.
We treat illegals better than the Army treats those captains and those majors, too, that they're forcing out in 6 to 9 months and they're in a combat zone. Or they're deployed someplace else in the world and they don't get back for 8 or 9 months. What does that mean? Do they get another year then to at least get their affairs together? Nobody seems to know.
Yeah.
You know, this is incredible. You know, I've talked to them off about it, and they're trying to find out, well, y'all know it's true, they're doing it, but, you know.
But what's that, where do these kind of orders come from? Do they come from the top? Do they be, I can't imagine military trained personnel actually making these kinds of decisions.
No, they do. You know, sequestration, and after wars, you know, you start drawing down. We all know that.
So when did the war end?
Well, obviously it hasn't because now we're ramping up again.
Exactly.
But we're going to cut 50,000 troops out of the Army, 20,000 out of the Marines. I mean, we're cutting back way back.
Why are we still recruiting?
We are mothballing some of the carriers. We're doing, well, you have to replace the ones that are getting out anyway. I mean, you still need privs. You know, as you move up the chain, you still need, you know, the E1s, E2s, E3s. But the, I think the bottom line on it is that they don't have to, they don't have to take people that are deployed in a combat zone. You know, if you're going to get the letter, fine, but you know, finish your tour and you're going to have a year after you get back to finish it. Anyway, we got to run.
Don't take it.
I don't like it.
It's insane to me.
And I started the conversation. Now we're starting to fight again.
Well, that's exactly right. You certainly know a whole lot more about it than I do. When I read all this stuff, I just look at it and think, my God, they don't have a clue what they're doing. This can't be a good time to be in the military. You take pride in serving. We're so proud of our enlisted men and women. But this is a terrible thing to do to them.
And now they're saying, you know what? We had too many white men commanding combat units. Oh. Oh, exactly what does that mean? Oh, yeah. Well, it's simple. There's too many white men controlling combat units, the battalions, the infantry battalions in this. Well, is there a reason for this? I mean, there is a reason for this. You know, and I can tell you from the Marine Corps what the reason was, is that we had absolutely fabulous black officers and Hispanic officers. We had fabulous ones. Academy graduates coming out of some, you know, prestigious schools and all that. The reason we lost most of them is that it's a tough life being in the Marine Corps.
Uh-huh.
And we had, you know, officers that stayed through, became general officers, became astronauts and all this. But a lot of them have families, and as many officers do, they get offered jobs from big companies, and especially minority officers, because they've got it all. Academy, a good career in the military, they're ready to come in and take something over, and they're getting paid tremendously. You lose a lot of officers that way.
Sure.
You know what? My gosh. I mean, you know, and so that's part of it. And the other part of it is some of them, some officers don't go into the infantry. They go into other parts of IT, logistics, all these other things. I mean, it's like, well, we have too many white officers. And does this mean we're going to go into what?
Affirmative action?
Yeah. I mean,
so that's what's ruined most of the government agencies that U.S. Forest Service, all of them. When they went to affirmative action, you ended up with people who weren't qualified.
Well, I'm just saying that to say something like this is you've got to look at the reasons behind it. You know, I mean, and the people who sign up, the people who train, a lot of minority officers, and let's face it, are not officers, but they finished up college, they move on to other jobs. You know, some of them don't go into the military. I mean, it's only a certain percentage for everybody here.
There you go.
You know, you've got to look at that. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Trish Clark.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's got on the spot with Linda Bott tonight, so Trish Clark is here.
Good morning.
It's Thursday, it's Trish. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy is with his team of NRA professionals, are offering CCW classes, hunting classes, rifle classes, basic pistol classes, all of this under the Northern California Firearms, or I'm sorry, Northern Firearms Instruction banner. And for a short period of time, for a limited time, he's going to provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Give Ted a call at 999-1822. Or register online at readingccw.com. These classes are filled. In fact, there's going to be a women's only class in October, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's a lot of fun. They're usually shooting better.
Do you teach that?
I teach that one.
That's good.
I teach that one. Okay, hey, we're here with Joe Bean and Sayer Carino, and we're going to be talking about the
children helping children art walk. What a fun thing is that?
You got it.
Yeah, Joe, tell us about that.
The idea behind it is, you know, to teach our young people at an early age that helping others is okay. We've got the holiday season rapidly approaching, and we want to help teach kids to help other kids. So we're looking at helping kids who are in need of clothes, food, Christmas presents, whatever, this holiday season. So we've also teamed up with Adopt a Family through the North Valley Catholic Social Services.
Uh-huh.
And what we're looking for, well, what we've already got is about 1,000 pieces of art being donated by local children. And we're going to put them throughout the Shasta County through local businesses and create an art walk. So people can, you know, visit new businesses that they're unaware of in search of, you know, little Timmy's painting or clay sculpture or whatever. And we're going to be selling all the art between $5 and $10, and all the proceeds are going to be going to Adopt a Family.
And this sounds like a lot of fun. And then towards the end of it, on November 22nd, you're going to have a big raffle and giveaway. And
we're going to have raffles. We're going to have Corey Post emceeing this for us as well. Jake Magnus from the North Valley Catholic Social Services is going to be there as well. We're going to have a silent auction for some of the better paintings or artwork, whatever. So just to raise more money.
Okay, and we've also got Sayer Karina with us this morning. Yes. Tell us what your involvement is in this group.
I help them put most of it together. I came up with some of the ideas for actually having the final for the doing the silent auction and stuff like that, taking a couple of the best ones and trying to raise a little more funds that way. And I actually mostly deal with the regular locals, not the gallery. I do most of the web design, advertising, marketing, search engine optimization, VHS to DVD and such.
All that stuff that is still in the world out there that a lot of us don't all understand entirely. We just like it when it works.
So why'd you do this, Joe?
I worked for the health department out in Colorado for 14 years, worked in law enforcement, retired actually from law enforcement, and I've seen the negative side. I've seen a lot of kids in need. One year I even played Santa Claus. I was the most anorexic Santa Claus in U.S. history. just kids are – they're in need. That, you know, and we as adults sometimes forget the little things, and – we see and learn new things through the eyes of a child at any time. And so it's nice to help them.
And certainly if we can give the more children that we can help out, put on the right path, give them a normal life as they're growing up, the better our society is going to be.
We need to break the cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to start with the little kids to do that.
Otherwise it's too late by the time they're 12. Okay, so that's locals art. Now, you also have locals.
Yes.
And talk about that a little bit.
I'll let Sarah discuss that.
That is the web designing, advertising, marketing, search engine optimization, and VHS to DVD. That's pretty much all the other smaller stuff that
What's search engine optimization?
It's actually simpler than it sounds. It's basically on your web pages, just having hidden stuff that actually makes the search engines you're on help find you better and get you better placement on your Google, your Bing, your Yahoo, and so forth.
Okay, I want to have a web page for my business. Do you do that?
Yes.
And then you design that with my input and make it work. Who keeps it updated?
We can, but there is a monthly fee.
Okay, and can you teach just anybody how to update it themselves?
Yeah.
And is that like a simple process? Well, you know, there's a lot of us out there that have smaller businesses or nonprofits or what have you that struggle with get a web page up. Right. And then my thing with web pages always is if it's not current and you're not updating it, then it's worse than not having a web page.
Just about. That's why we also do have our 24-hour updates. If you stay with us updating your page, we will have it updated within 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good, worthy thing. I think there's a lot of places out there that need that kind of help.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now, 87% of consumers expect all businesses to have a web page.
Exactly.
And one of the things we talked about when we first started the station was people buying local. And, you know, buy local, buy local, buy local, use local, and which is a good name for your business there. But, but what we were finding, though, is that a lot of businesses in town didn't have a web page. So people that get on the internet, because you know a lot of people don't use Yellow Pages anymore.
A lot of people just don't even have a phone book in their house.
You see a lot of people that were selling Yellow Page ads are now looking for jobs. But the thing about it is, though, is if you don't have a web page and somebody's looking for that drum set, and a lady said this. She says, I was looking for a drum set. And she said, I saw his webpage. And she said, it was a couple dollars more. But you know what? I walked in there. It ended up being a lot better. And they got it from locally. Other things that people look for, I know the businesses are in town, but they don't have a webpage. So they end up either going to a big box store or they go online. And that's the last thing we want people to do.
Well, that's the other thing about our business. We only do either or for local Shasta County businesses or residents. We don't do or deal with, you know, other counties. We try to keep it local. Obviously, for the gallery, we'll sell outside of Shasta County, but we don't want to get any artists from outside of Shasta County.
Oh, that's good.
Where are you located at? The art gallery.
It's actually all online.
Oh, okay. So it's all online. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the nice thing about that is we've sold actually several pieces of art through it. We don't have a listing fee like many other galleries do, and our commission is half of any other gallery out there.
Oh, okay. So if I'm an artist and I have a painting, I bring it to you or a picture of it. You market it and then sell it for me and take a commission. It's like a consignment.
Right. Right. Yeah. And we'll also take a picture of you as well and also a short bio so people know who you are.
Okay.
So
okay.
It gets you out there as well.
Great. Okay. This is the Children Helping Children Art Walk. It's going to be November 8th to the 22nd. And it's featuring art from local K through 8th grade school children. And the kickoff starts November 8th at the Brew. We've got time that we'll be talking about it before then. And I think the 8th is a Saturday.
Yes.
If I remember right.
And what you're looking for now is a few more venues to display them. So if there's businesses out there that would like to display some of this artwork, do they have to be in Redding, or can they be in other places in Shasta County?
Shasta County.
Yeah, in Shasta County. We've got a few down in Anderson, one down in Cottonwood right now.
Okay.
The rest are here. But no, we want local businesses. And it's a great marketing tool for them as well, too, because it's going to get people that didn't even know they existed in their front doors.
Exactly. And do they pay anything to do that? They just work with you, put them on display, and open
Donate
it to the public
space.
To come in. Perfect. Perfect. I think that's a great idea. So, and how would they have a phone number that they could contact you?
It is 530-515-8335.
Okay.
I have to look at him. I don't know.
Or they can go online and look up Locals.
Locals Gallery. Go. Yep.
It's online, right?
Yes, yep. It is. Of course.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're here, of course, with Joe Bean and Sayer Carino. And they are with Locals, which is a web design and everything else that you want to do with webs. And then, of course, Locals Gallery, an online art gallery. All here, Children Helping Children Art Walk. Great. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks
and
for
we'll
coming
have you
in.
Back
it
on
sounds
before
like a lot of
starts.
Fun.
All
okay.
right. Thank you.
Hey, let's take a break. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients to say, Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain. Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim. Used successfully in Europe for over 20 years, available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens, and this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
If you want more than just to sleep every night, if you're looking for luxurious comfort and near total freedom from motion transfer, look to Cresson's Mattress Gallery on Athens Avenue and the best-in-class luxury in mattresses. The AH Beard line, manufactured with 100% natural wool to wick moisture away and control body temperature. All this provides the maximum in comfort and quality sleep every night at a truly amazing price with the best 20-year non-prorated warranty in the industry. And let's face it, you're worth it. See the AH Beard mattress line along with adjustable beds, futons, organic sheets and pillows, mattress pads, and much more. Including Organipedic by OMI, the purest mattress made and manufactured right here in Northern California. Only a family-owned and operated Cresson's Mattress Gallery, your complete sleep headquarters. With the largest mattress inventory in the North State, you'll find the very best prices every day at Cresson's. Plus, you'll always receive 12 months no-interest OAC. Ask Steve, Lance, Travis, or Shane about Cresson's 60-night comfort guarantee. Only at Cresson's Mattress Gallery, 2355 Athens Avenue, next to the Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Quality sleep at an affordable price.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hands up in the air sometimes, saying, ayo, gotta let go.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. As we're up here saying, ayo, ayo, whatever that means. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It is 7:50 in the morning, 67 degrees out there. It's going up. We've got a 50% chance of rain because I was going to go take a motorcycle ride today. If it's raining when I get off the air here, I might slow me down a little bit.
But are you still going to ride?
No.
No?
I'm not fair weather. I'm not going to go out. You know what? It rains once in, you know, in a blue moon. I'm not going to take that day to ride. I'll just see if he can switch over to tomorrow and we'll go for a ride.
Well, and the thing that you want to watch if you do that is if we haven't had any rain a really long time.
I know. It'll be
slick. You don't want to do a motorcycle ride that.
Not today.
Not today.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Orchard Nutrition. You know, if just walking into a place, you get healthier. It's located in the Cypress Square Cypress Square Shopping Center, and it is has the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. I tell you, four nutritionists on the staff to help you water the whole thing. You know, Joe and his people there, they carry, you know, they carry products, and this is the great thing. Joe and his people there carry products that aren't, you know, that they don't make money on, but there are people in town, you know, that need this, that want this. This type of, you know, a supplement or a vitamin or a food, and he stocks it. Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is somebody that cares about the community. Isn't, you know, everybody cares about bottom line, but he also cares about the community and the people on it. You know, that right there is a reason to go to Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Orchard Nutrition is your center for a healthy lifestyle. It's good guys. Okay. We've talked about the Anselmo. We've talked about ISIS. Okay, this one's yours. You know, I got a lot of comments after Wednesday show with Krishwaga, and Mark Beecham took the show and he took out what she was saying. I mean, you know, it took lines. Mm-hmm. And put him into his blog, and that just, you know, that started the fire.
He really did, and you know, and I think it's important to recognize that this isn't something new with Chris. This has been going on with the property for a long, long time. And when a couple of weeks before the fire, we
really
talked
bad.
about bringing her on to discuss the issue she was facing down there with that population and the just total disregard for her personal property.
And personal safety.
And then we weren't able to accomplish that because she went out of town and it turns out they burned her out and now she's really hot. And you know, I think that one of the things that people need to understand is the message she was saying. I just happened to wake up the other night and was standing in the kitchen and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I live in a pretty secluded area. There were people out in front in the street.
You live in a suburb, though.
Well, I do, but there's not a lot of people walking around at night.
I know that, but I'm
not in a business district or anything.
Yeah, but you're secluded doesn't mean you're out in the country.
Oh, exactly. No.
Right.
I mean, I live in a residential area, but it's a residential area, not close to businesses.
Right, right.
And so there would be absolutely no reason for anybody to be out walking around the streets where I live at night. And I'll be darned if there weren't two people I'd never seen in my life out walking in the street in front of my house. Certainly explains all the things that are happening in our neighborhood. I've lived there since 77. And we never had any crime in that area. And all of a sudden, I mean, we've had all kinds of things happening over the last 2 or 3 years. They're just out there and they do. And Chris said that guy, they come out in the middle of the night and they're out there taking stuff away if it's there, they think they have a right to own it.
I think there's a subculture there.
I think it's in all of the communities. It's not just in the city of Reading.
Of course not. In fact, you go around. I'm talking to people that are traveling up and down 5. You get into Medford, you get into Portland. It is, you know, it's really bad. But we're going to be discussing that, at 8 o'clock. We've got Doug Christian in Shasta Habitat, Humanity Habitat, is going to be our guest. And he and his group are advocating that the homeless village, for them to have for homeless to have a place to stay so you don't have them out in camps. We're going to be talking about that at 8 o'clock, so that's going to be interesting. Let's talk about weed for a minute.
Wow. What a devastation.
100, it says 110, but there's been another 50 or 60 structures also that have been – or 80 structures that have been damaged. So they weren't destroyed, but they were damaged by the fire. Plus the fact the fire and another 1,200 structures are threatened still. They've only got it 60% contained.
And 35-mile-an-hour winds predicted for weed today.
And in fact, that thunder lightning storm that poured through with a little bit of rain up in that area, up in the Trinity area and up towards Weeds and all that last night, I haven't seen anything this morning to tell me whether there were any new fires. But that's just incredibly – the whole community. I mean, and the major employer, Roseburg, is really damaged and closed. And hopefully the big building did not get totally damaged.
They say they can bring that one back.
Well, and we certainly hope so. But you got to recognize they only have 100. I was amazed they actually only have 135 employees now at that facility. That facility used to employ over 1,000 people.
It used to be the largest sawmill in the United States.
And we're down to 135 employees. Right. You know, you got to wonder when half the town is destroyed, and whether it ever really actually reopens.
Well, you know what they said, Weed's going to rebuild. They've already, you know, it's been declared a disaster area. They're looking for federal grants. They've got insurance. They have all these things.
And more importantly,
the schools plan on reopening, and the people, if the people want to stay,
the key here always is that let's not just stand back and say, what is the government going to do to solve this?
Right.
The people of the North State need to solve this. We need to come together as we used to get together and raise somebody's barn when you got burned out. And we as a community from the North State, we need to take care of these people.
Well, let's talk
and
about
as a community,
that.
let's get them back on their
okay,
feet.
Okay, let's talk about that. Where can you give donations for these people? Let me start going through it. Up at in Anderson, Blue Star Gas, on East Side Road in Anderson, and on Spring Hill Road in Mount Shasta. Donations of non-perishable food and water and can be dropped off there. The Shasta Regional Community Foundation has established a community disaster relief for people. Visit the foundation's website, and they'll continue to take donations after the Bowles fire for families affected by other fires. American Red Cross of Northeastern California. They've got it up there at the Mount Shasta National Guard Army, but I'm sure they'll take it here too.
Yeah.
The You Caring fundraiser. This is from Weed Native is raising money to donate to one of the organizations supporting the victims of the fire. Cross Petroleum and Mountain County Supply. These are at the Cross Petroleum and Mountain County Supply at the Cypress Chevron right on Cypress Avenue in Redding. Mount Shasta 76 Station in Mount Shasta. They're in Weed. They're in McLeod. They're in Dunsmuir. All of the Cross Petroleum at the Chevrons. Shasta Head Start on Lake Boulevard. And we'll also taking toiletries, housewares, toys, and school supplies. Enterprise Optometry Group on Victor Avenue, 3080 Victor Avenue, is taking donations for affected families. And it's got a Facebook page. They need personal hygiene products, bedding, towels, and clothing.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of people want to immediately start coming up with TV sets and stuff.
No.
Right now what they need are basics. They need toothbrushes and toothpaste and soap and underwear. The basic kind of things that you need to get through a day.
And there's plenty. I tell you what, you go to the Red Cross for sure. I'm sure they've got things doing. The Reading Veterans Resource Center is helping on Hartnell Avenue. The Northern Valley Catholic Social Services on Minor Street in Wairika. All of these things, all these places are going to help. And you know, we told the story yesterday of that couple who was wedding. They were getting married, and he ran home. He got the dress and the rings. Well, donations are coming in, and to help them out, you know, champagne.
And they're
going to
go
all
ahead
types.
And get married.
Oh, they're going to get married. You know what? That is absolutely fabulous. They've been offered honeymoon suites and all this, but there is a there's a woman named Gwen Edwardson, and she's a wedding planner, and I don't know how else to tell you to reach her, but that would be kind of cool as to. you know, hey, offer up something for that wedding. But people have.
Yeah.
You're right. We have to reach out.
You know, there's so many examples of disasters that have happened in the United States, and the one that strikingly reaches out was that whole mess in New Orleans. Katrina, and we don't ever want to repeat that in this United States. That, you know, that was a mess.
A mess.
And it was because the community didn't come together. They sat around and complained about the federal aid wasn't coming in quick enough, and this wasn't coming in quick enough.
There's people, and that wasn't coming in,
and they weren't doing a thing to take care of themselves.
There are people still living in trailers instead of back in their houses.
I was in New Orleans the year before last. It's a mess. There's places that the houses are still falling down, and those people are still sitting there with their hand out.
Well,
they haven't done a thing to try and help themselves.
Okay. We come back.
And that's what we need.
Doug Christian and Shasta Humanity. We're going to talk about how to handle this homeless problem. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark. Good morning. It is 8 o'clock.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. U.S. home construction took a nosedive in August.
The Commerce Department says construction declined by 14.4% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 956,000 homes. This reverses July's sharp gain when the rate of new construction rose to 1.12 million homes. August's decrease primarily came from builders starting fewer apartment complexes, which plummeted 31.5% from July.
That is SRN's Jeremy House. Meanwhile, a sharp drop in the number of people applying for unemployment benefits. The number fell by 36,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 280,000, a sign that the job market is getting stronger. Average long-term U.S. mortgage rates surged this week. That marks the largest one-week gain this year. Mortgage company Freddie Mac says the nationwide average for a 30-year loan jumped to 4.23%. That's up from 4.12% last week. The 15-year mortgage, popular for refinancing, rose to 3.37%. Big news today in Scotland, at least it will be when the results are found out. On this historic day, as Scottish voters turn out to decide whether or not to remain part of the United Kingdom or break away and once again become an independent Scotland. Scottish voter Doug Grocer says people need to give it a lot of thought before giving a thumbs up to independence.
I think it would be a big mistake, and not to get caught up in the sort of the nationalistic fervour that seems to be happening throughout the country. I think you've got to vote with your head. I've heard people saying vote with your heart, but that's not the way to do it.
Scottish voter Amy Robertson says she is voting with her head when she votes for independence.
This is a chance for ordinary folk to finally have a say in how society's run.
Some 2,600 polling places are open. Turnout is expected to be exceptionally high. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is higher after a strong opening and a 25-point gain yesterday, and the momentum continues today. Opening at 17,157, it's up 70 points. This is SRN News.
His insight on parenting has informed a generation, and now Dr. James Dobson introduces his groundbreaking book and 8-part film series for a new generation, Building a Family Legacy.
This might be the most significant investment of your life.
To celebrate the launch, you're invited to attend a free simulcast of the first film titled Your Legacy on any night, October 1st through the 5th.
This film series represents a legacy of love and care that I've tried to leave to my own family.
To find a location nearest you, go to buildingafamilylegacy.com. That's buildingafamilylegacy.com. Join millions from around the world for this exciting event. Go to buildingafamilylegacy.com.
It's the stories that we remember that make us who we are.
Polish medical experts say that the preserved heart of the 19th century composer Frédéric Chopin shows signs of tuberculosis and possibly some other lung disease.
The findings seem to corroborate Chopin's 1849 death certificate, which said that the Polish-born musician died at the age of 39 in Paris from TB. He rests in Paris, but his heart was brought to Warsaw and is kept as a national relic in a church. Sealed in a crystal jar, it was inspected in April by forensic and genetic experts. One of them, Michael Witt, says that the heart is much enlarged, suggesting a lung disease, and bears TB nodules. Keith Peters, SRN News.
The Agriculture Department is approving the use of genetically modified corn and soybean seeds that are resistant to a popular weed killer. Despite the approval, farmers will not be able to take full advantage of the new seeds until the EPA issues a second ruling, one that would allow the use of the powerful herbicide Enlist. This is SRN News. The group Doctors Without Borders says one of its staff members has contracted Ebola while working in Liberia and will be evacuated to France. Why would an American doctor risk his life to treat Ebola patients in Africa? That question was raised yesterday at congressional hearings, and Dr. Kent Brantley said for some doctors, it's all about their faith in Christ.
Jesus instructed us, taught us to love your neighbor as yourself. And he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and when he was asked the question, who is your neighbor?
Missionary Kent Brantley contracted Ebola in Liberia but recovered after being evacuated to the United States. Adrian Peterson's teammates refusing to condemn him amid allegations of child abuse. Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin.
We support him. We love him. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we just got to go out there and just, you know, still play football, man. You know, that's the bottom line.
More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's 8:05 in the morning, September the 18th, a Thursday. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it's 67 degrees in downtown Reading, and we've got a chance of showers with the thunderstorms after 11 o'clock today. We do have some reports of a little bit of sprinkles up around Whiskey Town, so we actually may have a chance of rain. A chance of precipitation is 50%. We got fairly fair and cloudy tonight with a low around 61, and we're sunny and high in the, into the next week, and that sun will be coming back. And it, weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are...
It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer.
Locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. You can give them a call at 365-3793. I get confused between winter and summer. It's cold out there.
Well, it is. You know what? Hey, join Linda and Lady Bot in the Bluebirds on October 2nd in a couple of weeks. It's on a Thursday evening. And join her for a fabulous evening of singing, entertaining, dining, and dancing. It is Romance on the River at the Wind River Casino and Resort. Linda's going to be there with her band. And it's time to dine and dance the night away. But you're going to need reservations because there's only so much room at the Elements. But it's, I tell you what, they are setting up. It's going to be special there. And we're really looking forward to it. You need to give them a call at 243-3377. Call the Wind River Resort Casino and Resort, 243-3377. Ask for Elements and tell them you want to be seated as close to the stage as you can. Romance on the River, Elements Lounge, Lady Bot, and the Bluebirds. You're going to have a great time. We're all going to have a great time, and I know the place is filling up. Okay, Trish.
We have this morning, we are joined with a group from the Shasta Humanity Project, Doug Christian, and Kimberly Dunn and Katie Sears. And we're going to talk about their project to tell us what you're going to do. Doug.
Getting close here, Doug.
Yeah, we're going to develop 40 homes here on several acres to help local residents of established residents of Shasta County who have fallen upon hard times get back on their feet. These are people that are homeless. They may be living in their cars. They may be cars, or they may be living in fields, or who knows where. And we want to help these people get back on their feet and assist them with resident advocates, with life coaches and case management, and do this with the participation and support of Shasta County Health and Human Services and other organizations such as Good News Rescue Mission, which is assisting us in our program, and other programs like this around the country that are already established doing this.
And how do you determine the eligibility for somebody to be a part of this program?
Well,
You indicate these are homeless Shasta County people that have fallen on hard times from our community.
Exactly. And there's a reason for that. What we're doing here is we're not going to go and establish a property and homes and have people around the country think, hey, we can go to Shasta County and go get a home.
And certainly that is a fear that a lot of us have. There's a network that's out there. We know that because occasionally when we're cleaning up properties or we find social service papers from Texas and Miami and all of these places, there says, hey, this is a great place. Shasta County's got lots of stuff. Go there. You get lots of free stuff. How do we ensure that we're not just building something that draws attention to us and brings us more issues to deal with?
Well, one of the things that we did is we created subcommittees. And one of the subcommittees that we created that I put together was an intake and processing and screening subcommittee. And we have a director here is Katie Sears. And Katie's with the Redding Rancheria Behavior Health Department. And she's been doing a lot of research, and she's talking to other program directors around the country that have programs already established that are doing this. And so I'm going to defer to her and let her.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Katie.
Good Hello. Morning, Katie. Welcome.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this is just for Shasta, and we want to make sure we have delineated everything here. It's just for Shasta County residents, and nobody else. They've got to be able to show proof of living in Shasta County. Is this correct?
This is correct.
Okay.
So when they come in, they'll go through an intake process. I have spoke to different places around the country, actually. This is going on in several states. So I've talked to them about their intake process. Some of them are a little bit different. We will have people come in, and we will establish that they've had residency here for a certain amount of time. And then we will kind of walk through and see what their history is, what their need is, why they've become homeless, what services we can connect them with, and get them set up and get started.
What is the who pays for this? Is this something that comes out of the out of our taxpayers' money or from locally?
Well, you know, a lot of this stuff actually is going to come from grants. We're going to help people get set up with social services. So if they can qualify for any other service that we can, like if somebody has a disability, we can get them set up with Social Security. If it's a veteran, we can connect them with services from the veterans. But actually, it will come a lot from grants from the government. And in the long run, if you look at the studies that they have done across the country, it's actually going to cost us less money to get these people off of the street and into stable housing, because you're not paying for emergency room services. You're not paying for, temporary
housing.
Why
wouldn't you be paying for emergency room services?
Because we'd be able to get them hooked up with medical providers. So you'd be able to, instead of going to the emergency room and it costing, $5,000, you can set them up with a medical provider that they can go see and take care of their services. So, I mean, if they have something more specific, obviously, we're going to have to take care of that. But it's going to be cheaper overall to actually bring them off the street and put them into a stable environment, and it's going to cost us less money in the long run.
Okay. I mean, I understand that. Now, to build 40 houses, which is a lot of houses, and then in a main building out there to kind of an intake building and all that, it's going to take a lot of land. Now, I'm not asking you where it's going to be, because mm-hmm. that's not fair, because I know you're talking to people. So don't even ask the question where it's going to be, my friends. That is going to take a lot of land and a lot of money, though. Mm-hmm. Does all of this, you think, Doug, is going to come from grants? Or
I think it's going to come from sponsored services on a corporate level as well as grants. I mean, there's land out there that we're looking at that's as little as $100,000, but it's going to cost us several hundred thousand dollars to have that land improved in order for us to develop it. There's other lands out there that's, just under $1 million that we could purchase to do it on. So we're looking at a couple properties that we're negotiating on. One we could build on tomorrow. The other one would take us several months to get the approval.
One is CEQA ready, shovel ready.
Pardon?
It's shovel ready. You don't have to do a CEQA. You don't have to do anything through the planning commission.
Oh, we'd
or
have to go through the planning commission on one of the properties, yes.
And just to clarify one other thing, because you speak that grant money from the government. So bottom line,
rapid rehousing money?
Exactly, but let's be clear, that is taxpayer money.
It's taxpayer money.
I always want to be clear. People get sucked into this. It's grant money, And somehow that doesn't come out of my pocket, but it does because it comes from the federal and state government.
It's grant money that's already earmarked for rapid rehousing.
Absolutely. And I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying that grant money is government money, and the government is me.
When you talk about earmarked money, we're talking about earmarked money for low-income housing. And so there's something here that people need to understand. And I want to clarify, Kitty didn't get a chance to finish what she was talking about there on how this is paid for. And how this is paid for, these people, we're working with the Smart Resource Center. We're going to be working with other employers in the community. These people, once we get them in and get them established into our facility, they immediately get enrolled into an employment program,
Perfect.
Into a job training program. They immediately pay, as soon as they get their income, whether it's through social services, through Social Security, through the VA or whatever, 30% of their income goes towards paying rent.
Okay.
And that's an important distinction. These are the things that I want to bring out to the community.
People may not have known.
That people, because we want to be sure that we're not establishing something that's just going to enable bad behavior.
And because
we want to change it.
We've got enough bad behavior around here, as we all know. Okay, we need to take a break. And we got Charles, as soon as we get back from the break, we'll get to you. If you have questions for Doug or Kimberly, and we'll get Kimberly back on since we get back, and Katie, give us a call at 605-4567. Hop in our chat room and ask questions, too. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, we're here with the Shasta Humanity Project, who want to build a homeless village?
Well, it'll be a homeless village. It'll be a village where people live. It'll be a community for residents.
Okay. It'll just be a low-income housing area. Okay. We'll be right back.
Transitional housing.
More than just a sleep every night. If you're looking for luxurious comfort and near total freedom from motion transfer, look to Cresson's Mattress Gallery on Athens Avenue and the best in class luxury in mattresses. The AH Beard line, manufactured with 100% natural wool to wick moisture away and control body temperature. All this provides the maximum in comfort and quality sleep every night at a truly amazing price with the best 20-year non-prorated warranty in the industry. And let's face it, you're worth it. See the AH Beard mattress line along with adjustable beds, futons, organic sheets and pillows, mattress pads, and much more, including Organifeedic by OMI, the purest mattress made and manufactured right here in Northern California. Only at family-owned and operated Cresson's Mattress Gallery, your complete sleep headquarters with the largest mattress inventory in the North State. You'll find the very best prices every day at Cresson's. Plus, you'll always receive 12 months no-interest OAC. Ask Steve, Lance, Travis, or Shane about Cresson's 60-night comfort guarantee. Only at Cresson's Mattress Gallery, 2355 Athens Avenue, next to the Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Quality sleep at an affordable price.
To Paint Mart for service and quality.
Bye, honey.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to the Paint Mart. I want to match paint colors with wallpaper and new window blinds.
And just how are you going to do all that?
Paint Mart has this wonderful new PPG Voice of Color touchscreen where you can design paint colors, pick and choose PPG paints for walls and trim. Then I can pick out my wallpaper, blinds, and drapes, all with the ease of a large touchscreen. It's great.
At the Paint Mart, we have a design consultant to help you select the perfect PPG paint for interior, exterior, primers, and stains, including low VOC options with elegant, durable finishes and over 1,900 colors to choose from. We also carry wallpaper, custom blinds, draperies, and shutters. Paint smart with the paint professionals at the Paint Mart, home of quality PPG paint, Redding, Anderson, and Red Bluff.
Come to Paint Mart.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not-so-famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 8:20 in the morning, September the 18th. This is the day that Scots vote for freedom laws, for freedom. Or their version of freedom. Welcome back. 67 degrees. Good chance for it raining today because I was going to ride my motorcycle. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends of Alliance Heating and Air. Been here in the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service for emergencies. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone.
Yeah, we need to share the, everybody needs to grab one of those.
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, Charles, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm going to rattle off some questions and then take my answers off. I mean, on the air.
Okay.
So,
I'm writing. Go.
First is, how specifically is the residency going to be established? Since a lot of these individuals don't have very good documentation, a lot of them may not have IDs, etc. And also, what about is there going to be any, drug screening?
Drug testing, testing and screening. Okay, we're going to address that.
And because we don't want to, attract the same kind of people that have been doing things to, for example, Chris Aswaga's property.
Exactly. Right. We talked about that earlier.
Also, there's a whole bunch of shovel-ready properties in southeast Reading.
How about we put it out of Stillwater?
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Oh, that part of South. Okay. That's shovel-ready right there. And I think they said if you build something there, they're going to give it to you for free, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting personal messages from people in big letters. So, I'm going to have to see what that means. Okay, Charles, what else?
Oh, the residency and
drug testing.
How do you establish residency?
And then we're also going to talk about how long do they give them and the rules there. That's one of some, we're going to hit that.
Deal with behavior problems.
Right.
And I was going to ask, where are you going to put this darn thing?
Don't ask them because they're still talking about it, and it wouldn't be fair if they're trying to maneuver into that.
But there are a whole bunch of shovel-ready properties.
Yeah, I like Stillwater personally.
Yeah,
that's where I want to put the temporary prison out there too. So
yeah, that'd be a good place too, Frank. Yeah. I think there's room for both.
I think there is. Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, Charles.
I'll hang up and.
Thanks, Charles, for the call.
Okay, all right. Let's get into this then. Is Katie? Is how specific? Okay, or Doug? Either one. How specific are you going to get? Because you say we want to do Shasta County residents, and that's right. If a lot of them, how do you prove that you're a Shasta County resident?
We would have to start with it would all come in through the intake. So we would do a history of the intake. We would have to help them get some sort of ID, get history, figure out how long they have been in the area. All of it's going to be part of the intake process, getting a history of their life.
But you're going to have to substantiate in some manner. I mean, I can walk in there and say, well, I used to live here or there or the other. If I can make up any story I want, you have to be able to substantiate that.
If they can't substantiate their story, then they're going to have an issue, and we're probably not going to be able to process them.
Right.
I mean, straight up, if you can't substantiate, then you can't substantiate.
Okay.
So the burden's on them to substantiate.
The burden is on them.
Thank you. Okay. That's what I needed you to say.
Drug testing and screening.
So with the drug testing, at this point, when they go through programs like at the Good News Rescue Mission, we want them to be able to go through a program or establish that they've been through a program to stay clean and sober. We will also have drug and alcohol counselors there at the village to be able to keep them in a program. But most of them, I think at this point, we're going to require them to participate in some sort of program.
And they have to be clean and sober when they enter in.
Correct.
Policing.
Yes.
Of the area.
Oh.
Well, we're going to have our resident advocates there on site. We are going to have our life coaches to teach them, you know, the basic skills that they need. Some of these people don't know, you know, may not know what they need to do to maintain their home. And they're going to need to be taught that. But as far as when you get into the policing of the facility itself, there may be people that we screen when they come in that can actually assist us with that are residents, as well as us doing it with our own staff when we initially open.
The I think one of the problems is that I see is that you can screen them very well, and it's not them. It's their friends that start showing up now. What kind of program do you have for that?
I will tell you this. I was a security contractor for 8 years and worked part-time in the industry for 20. So I'm also retired fire. And so I know a little bit about security and securing a facility. So the design in this facility has a fence around the facility. There will be the resident advocate building, but you don't go through the resident advocate building to get inside the facility. You go through a gate next to it. There are no roads coming into the facility. The parking lot's outside of the facility for those that have vehicles. The only gate that come in is a walking gate for the residents. There will be a large, like wheelbarrow-type can for them to bring their groceries in. They can have a walking trail that will go to the houses. There will be a large fire access gate that fire and EMS and law enforcement will have that they can come in through to access all the buildings. But so nobody can drive in and drive up to any of the buildings. No non-residents can come in and get into the access to the buildings during the evening or after hours.
Okay. You've thought that one. What about things like who pays for the utilities?
Again, we are putting in a solar array. I didn't know if you guys were aware of that, but we are putting in a solar array, and we've been consulting with Powerhouse Solar on that and the cost and the amount of land that would require. So that's our intentions.
So it would be off the grid as far as electricity?
We know how much land we need and how much we need to make it completely off the grid.
That's your hope?
That's our hope, provided we can get the approval from the City of Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Utilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So duration. How do you anticipate you're going to put people in there? They're going to be there a year, 2 years, unlimited?
I think that what you're going to find is that people are going to come into this facility and they're going to get on their feet and they're going to get employed and they're going to get more self-confident. And for some, they're going to move on and they're going to improve their quality of life. They're not going to want to stay there forever because that's the goal, is for them to move on. And for their life to continue, not to just stagnate. There will be some people who may be disabled. Possibly they're a veteran. Possibly they're just a disabled person. And they come there and they get in with us. But they need to wait a while until they can maybe get into a HUD housing situation that's more permanent long-term for them. And they may take them years to get into a facility like that. And so for that person, we're not going to give them a time limit.
Okay. And that makes sense. You're going to handle each individual
on a case by case.
On a case by case.
But one of the things you said is they would be paying for this.
Yes.
As they get jobs.
Yes. Or even if they don't have jobs and they have an income.
Through SSI.
SSI, SSDI. If they have, their VA benefits, whatever they have, they're going to 30, approximately. We're not putting a firm number on it. It could be 31, 32. Approximately 30% of their income will go towards the rent.
Okay. We're gonna take a early break here, and then Terry, hang on till the break's over. So I know it's going to take a little bit longer for the question and answer, I think. So this is Carl Bott and Trish Clark. We're here with Doug Christian and Katie Sears. And you know what? Wait a minute. First of all, Kimberly Dunn, say hello.
Hello.
Okay, Kimberly, what do you do?
I am a marriage and family therapist trainee under the supervision of Jeannie Jacobs, and I work for Bridges to Success through Shasta County Office of Education. So okay. I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy.
All right. So you haven't
And your position
yet.
With this group is?
I'm assisting them with the case management process and how are we going to work with the people and advocate for them as they come into the community.
Okay. You've been sitting here, and I just thought we got to get Kimberly into this. Okay. All right. Now we're going to take the break, and we'll be right back. Carrie, you'll be first up.
So easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens, and this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Shelly is grateful for birthdays and girlfriends. Her friend Laura encouraged her to get a mammogram on her birthday at MD Imaging's Women's Imaging Center. The Women's Imaging Center's devotion to women's health and quality images makes MD Imaging the right choice. Now, Shelly visits MD Imaging every year on her birthday. From our new 3D mammography screening to ultrasound, breast MRIs to biopsies, MD Imaging is defining what's next.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55...
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks, from Walnut Creek...
where kids make their own pizzas.
...to Santa Rosa...
with the meatballs as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. We're talking to the Shasta Humanity Project. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. I tell you what, take a step back in time there. Great haircuts, great prices, and discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. Man's last stronghold. Doesn't mean that you can't go in there, ladies. Kimberly, you can go in there. You know, just sit there.
You're not read the magazines.
Read the magazines are great. And listen to baseball. But it's an absolutely fabulous place. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens, across from the subway there. Okay, my guests today are our guest today, Trish Clark, is with me today. Linda's got on the spot with Linda Bott tonight. Doug Christian, who is the president of Shasta Humanity Project. Katie Sears, who's the director of intake and testing, I would imagine. And then Kimberly Dunn, who is an assistant there, but is a marriage family therapist and or training and is with Bridges to Success. We're talking about this 40 homes on several acres with a resident advocate building, too, for homeless people. And let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing fine. Well, Terry.
Everybody's listening.
Great. Okay, well, I've got a couple questions, and maybe you can write them down, Carl.
I've got them right here. Okay.
All righty. First of all, it seems that you want to facilitate these people to agencies that are already existing. All the agencies you spoke about, people have access to. Now, basically, the house payer is paying, the taxpayer is paying for every single thing you guys have talked about. People actually have to want to help themselves. My question is on that one, is that if we're paying for the housing, what's the time limit of them being in these houses? Number one, the rescue mission has a time limit. You can only stay there for a certain amount of time, and I would submit to you the rescue mission's pretty tapped out on space anyway. So how long do they stay in this housing? Second of all, you said there were 40 houses. Do you put four people per house, two people per house? How does that work? You also talked about drug testing. Who pays for that? Who pays for the life coaches? Who pays for the security? Who pays your salary? And are you guys a 501c3, a 501c4? And I would submit to you that there aren't that many grants. This is going to cost a lot of money. The other question I've got is that you've talked about basically the history of how long they can stay there. And I would submit to you that was a pretty ambiguous answer. I mean, is it 6 months they need to be here? 3 months? Do they have to be citizens? And you're saying that the onus is on them. Well, if they're homeless, a lot of times they don't even have ID. So I'm trying to figure this. It just seems a bit ambiguous, and maybe I'm just not getting all this. But the taxpayer seems to be on the hook for every penny of this. And who pays your salary? Who is Shasta Management? Is that project? Is that a 501, or what is that?
Okay, I got those.
We got the gist, right. Terry, and we're going to answer those questions.
Okay, thanks, Terry. All right, Doug. The first one is. And I think what happens during the breaks, we talk about some of these things. So if not, we've already said them, we're going to hit them again. Time limit for housing.
Time limit for housing is being determined by our intake committee and our board of directors. The time limit for housing is at this time not written down, but I can tell you that we are going to have most likely approximately around 2 years for some, and for others there won't be a time limit because it'll depend on how long it takes them to get into if they're disabled or a veteran, until they can get into the into possibly a HUD housing that's permanent housing for disabled or a housing for veterans. But if they need to stay with us longer, that's fine. I want to repeat, they will be paying 30% of their income for housing while they are staying with us, whether it's from the VA or Social Security disability.
Okay, size of housing. In other words, how many people do you put in it?
They'll generally be built for one person. In some cases, we will have couples if they're married and they've been, in a home together.
So, and how about married with kids?
We will not be doing children in this facility.
So you're discriminating against homeless children?
We are not discriminating against homeless children. We're just not housing children at this facility.
Okay, so this is going to be strictly an adult facility.
Yes.
It's going to be like a swimming pool?
No.
Okay, I'm just swimming. I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. I just wanted to see what Doug would say.
Well, we have one safe place
discrimination.
That's helping with kids. And
okay.
Currently.
So no children, and you'd have one person. And with the size of this housing, it ranges from, it's going to be how big? 500?
Still to be determined,
Well,
it's
still
like.
To be determined. We're working with our architect and our board, and we're having a meeting actually over the next few weeks to decide that.
Who pays for everything? We go back to the?
To they paying 30% of their income?
No, I mean, but who pays? Are you
for salaries?
For salaries? Are you all volunteers?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so nobody's getting a salary.
Nobody's getting a salary.
But the caseworkers and those people will.
Once we open, people will be getting salaries. We have spoken with local government regarding the case managers being salaried. The resident advocates would obviously, who reside there, would be getting salary, but they're also getting housing because they're resident advocates.
So how will they be paid from Shasta Humanity Project?
The resident advocates would be paid from Shasta Humanity Project through grant money through Rapid Rehousing.
Okay, so the question was asked, 501c3?
501c3 has been applied for. We have received our letter from the IRS. It is in process, and we are hopeful to receive our letter before the end of the year.
Good. If you said Shasta Conservative Humanity Project, it'd probably be 5 years from now.
Oh, but, yeah.
Okay. Just a joke about the IRS again. are you – how
– I'm so glad we didn't go with that name. That really hurt us for 5 years.
You could 5 years. I mean,
wow. Or if ever.
If ever. And how should okay. Again, you went back in as proving the residence we talked about. I like the answer you had. If this is what's going to happen, is the onus is on them to prove that they're a resident of Shasta County.
And if, in fact, let's face it, if, in fact, they have lived and had a home here in Shasta County, that's really going to be easy to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back to the tax records. If they owned a home, you can go back and find out their rental agreement. I'm certain that the rental organizations, the owners of the apartment complexes, are going to work with us on a situation like this. And if they were a resident and they were paying rent, you're going to be able to find that out.
Yeah.
If they are, in fact, residents of Shasta County, that's going to be easy to prove. And if they're not, then they're just going to get bounced, right?
They're going to get denied, yes.
We'll refer them, too. I mean, not everybody's going to be able to come into the program. So that's one thing that we will be working on. When someone does come in to apply, hopefully we'll have a program where we'll be able to enter all this stuff into a computer, and then we can refer them out to other services even if they don't use ours.
And Terry made the point that all of these agencies that you were talking about referring them to, there are already advocacy groups out there. I mean, we have the Veterans Service Office. We have all of those people that hopefully we're trying to refer these people to, these existing agencies, a lot. One of the fears that the community has is that you're going to build another area where those same people who are dealing with that same population in other locations are now just going to have another place they're going to have to spread themselves thinner to go and reach and work with.
Right. And so, again, what we're
building. That's a good question, because that was kind of what I was getting to, is that there's a finite number of people on the county rolls that do this kind of work.
Whether it's mental health or veteran service office or what have you.
And right now, when you put another organization, and I say the same thing to some of the veterans groups. You bring another veterans organization here to help returning veterans, that spreads and diffuses, a concerted effort to go someplace. So what you're doing is you're offering the same things, as far as people being counseled and all that. The only difference is that you're putting them in one area for 40 people.
Right, and here's the difference, though. So these people are most likely already receiving some sort of services. So they're already being seen by social services or mental health or whatnot. But some of these people, we're going to have them in a location where maybe one person can come out on a certain day and deal with them, or they can come and access these services in one place. They're already getting social services. So we're going to make them have one spot where we can send one person out and be able to sit down with them with a caseworker that's already at Shasta Humanity Project, who can say, here's what's going on. If you have somebody, I don't know if you've ever worked with somebody that has a mental illness or a substance abuse problem.
Employees do. They work with somebody.
We wonder sometimes.
They work with somebody. I don't work. That's what I meant, Bob. Not you guys. You guys work with somebody.
Well, so they know that you – sometimes it's easier when you're familiar with somebody to be able to sit down and say, these are the things that I'm struggling with. So if we have an advocate or somebody who can just say, these are the needs that they have and get that met, it's actually going to be a quicker process for these people versus them going and tying up social services by standing in line and doing one thing at a time.
Okay, so but we've got all kinds of one-stop centers in Shasta County that deal with different issues already. We've got the intake for veteran services. We have an adult policy council. We have all kinds of different things. One of the questions, and I'm going to just jump a little bit from what we're talking about, but we figured that the homeless population from even just Shasta County is in the hundreds. In Shasta County now.
Higher.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, we're talking about a huge population 3,000. Here. Part of which are Shasta County bred, part of which are not. We're talking 40, maybe 80 people here. And a lot of money.
I mean, this is going to take a lot of money.
We're talking a lot of money to buy the land, to build the houses. That's a lot of grants, and that's a lot of ongoing expense. For 80 people.
Okay. So we take this wonderful so-called lot of money, And yes, it is money. And we lift these people up who are costing us a lot more than the amount of money we're spending. And there's a project that was written, a study done for 2 years, done in Los Angeles County. And it showed over 2 years, it saved 79%, Project 50, of what it cost to have these people out on the streets. So that's the most recent study done in 2012 is when it was released. We recently had a and you can Google this and you can find it on the internet. This is just one of the many. There's many out there that say it saves $15,000 to $30,000 a year per person that you house on average. And you can – every program that you read will show you that there's a savings. So, yes, there's a savings to the community on the long run. But more importantly, there's a humanitarian effort that needs to be reached out here too. And for those who want the help and are going to benefit from the help and are going to use the help to better themselves, why shouldn't we? And for those that are too disabled to work but need to be off the streets and shouldn't just be left there laying in the streets or in the field, I think that it's, you know, our humanitarian as human beings, we should attempt to lift those people up.
And there's not any of us in this community who are not absolutely willing to help those who want to help themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's where we want to be.
Exactly.
There's a lot of what you're going to hear in the community, and certainly I'm going to play the devil's advocate all the way through this thing, because there's a whole lot of us out here are tired of enabling bad behavior.
Right.
And just continue. I mean, when we get out into the community and we see all these well-meaning programs that a lot of us have worked really hard to put in place over a lot of years, and I'm one of those people, and then when I see all of these things that we're giving to them laying in the fields and unused and unappreciated, we're to a point where we want to see targeted programs to pick out those people that we can pick up and make a difference in their life. And we want to discourage the rest of them from living in Chester County. You have something to say?
Yes, I do. What makes me think about in my training program, one of the things that we're taught on working toward a master's degree in marriage and family therapy is you never want to work harder than your client. So part of what Shasta Humanity Project has done is bringing together professional people who understand that mindset and who are able to with the intake process, our goal is to bring people together who do want to help themselves and then create a community where they will be helping each other as well. And we understand that there is a generational mindset for people that come from poverty families. So we want to be able to address that. And it's a different mindset than people who become homeless who maybe come from middle-class families who – for whatever reason, the circumstances are such that they find themselves in this position where they never in a million years would be in this position.
Okay. We're going to take a break.
I
think that what we've seen is from everybody says, is the three types of the homeless are those who want help and can be helped, those who don't want help because they really like this freedom, life of freedom and whatever, and those who can't be helped because of mental illness. So I'm going to address that when we get back, and also the 215ers. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
From Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSave, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl, Linda Bott. Of course, Linda's on the spot with Linda Bott tonight. So it's Trish Clark on my
Thursday.
It's Thursday, Trish. This portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms on Larkspur. And I tell you what, John prides himself, he and his staff pride themselves on customer service and having the guns and ammo that you want at fair prices. He's always got things on sale there. Give him a call at 222-8222 or stop by 2539 Larkspur right here in Reading. Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey. Hello. Good morning,
you're
guys.
On.
Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I've got the utmost respect for these people that are trying to help. But again, it's the HUD program. In the old days, they had developers building low-income homes or apartments and stuff, and then that's been discontinued. And then the redevelopment fees that the city was using. But again, this is an interim step. It's not the solution. We've got, as you mentioned, hundreds of homeless and needy people. There's no doubt about it. And I was downtown for the first time in a long time, right near your studio there, and there's misery in the streets down there. And so here's the deal. We create 40 homes, 40 people. That does not solve the problem. What we need to do is clean the streets of Reading up, create Glenn Hawes has got hundreds of acres out there on the Millville Plains, tree-studded with enough shade. We create Bumville, and these people are bums. Yes, they're bums. They need help. But again, they can have their own bum police. They can have their bum boroughs. And, you know, by the time you pay for the building permits for these houses at $30 a square foot, you're out of money. So anyway, what we need to do is corral them, the price of a fence around a 640-acre field, and let them go. They can set their tents up. At least they're not in other people's backyards and burning up the countryside. So I'll take my answer up here.
Okay, Billy Bob.
I think we clearly understand how you feel about this.
Bumville. Okay, and who was it? Oh, Les Hawes. I'm sure Hawes would really
Glenn
be happy.
Hawes, Glenn Hawes. He's tickled.
Glenn Hawes. Hey, Glenn, are you
whole new description of a mitigation bank property.
There you go, and now you're going to put people on there. Okay, well, you know what? Here's the one thing is we do have to clean up downtown and try to end the misery. Now we just got to figure out which path they're taking. And misery is not just them, but also the residents of Reading who are in misery.
Yeah, it's a different world we live in.
Let's go to Bill. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My idea is why spend money on giving them a place to live? Why not use that money to start a business and put them to work and have them producing something and feeling a little better about themselves than taking it from everybody in town who's already, most of them are hurting now as it is.
Okay, so why not have a cottage industry out there also?
Start a clothing company or something.
I love your way of thinking.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
So, right, so Bill, I say we do both.
I say, and here's our whole thing. We want to give them a place to sleep when they're not at work. We also want to assist them with job training. We're working with employers and the Smart Resource Center to do just that. And when we put them to work, then they're, instead of using their Social Security or their disability or their unemployment, whatever they may be paying their 30% rent with, they can use their income to pay their 30% rent with. And as their income increases, they can move out and go get an apartment or a small house.
Certainly, and if we can do that and actually put these people to work and rotate them through there, that would be a success story.
And that's what we want.
That's what you want.
Success.
Okay, let's go. Let's go to the phones. Red, good morning.
Morning. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, we're peachy here today, Red.
I was just curious about one thing. Does anybody have any kind of data that shows the people, the homeless that can actually be helped, people that are wanting to change their situation? Does anybody have any kind of data on what those numbers look like and if, in fact, those people are actually not being served by the services that already exist?
Good question. Okay, Red, thanks a lot. Okay, do we have data that shows that people that want to be helped can be helped? And what about the people that are already being helped like that already in town that are going through the Smart Center and all that?
Well, like he had talked about with the Project 50, we have a lot of reports and statistics like that that show when you actually have housing and you have a place to call your own, you can actually get out there. It gives you some self-esteem and some self-confidence to have. I don't know if people realize how hard it is to work when you are homeless. You don't have a place to take a shower. You don't have a place to store your stuff. You don't have a place to put your meals, your clothes.
This is kind of the elite of the homeless that you're going to bring in here, if I can say that. I mean, you're looking at the top level of the homeless that can be helped, that you've taken an intake in on this to be able to bring them in and push them on to that next – or you can't
help
push
them.
Help them to the next –
I don't know if they're elite, but they're willing to work.
Right.
And it's got to be that group. I mean, your intake is so important. Now, what about transportation for these people? Because you're not going to be right here in town, obviously.
Correct.
How are they going to get back and forth?
The properties we're looking at are near busing, but we're also looking at acquiring an 11-passenger van and being able to facilitate transporting people, you know, to need to get transported to work and assisting with that until they can get their own transportation.
Okay, by the way, these are modular homes we're talking about.
Yeah, going back to that guy right. That was talking about permit fees
right.
To build homes, okay, $24,000 to the city of Resident if I put it on a foundation. Well, we're not going to put them on a permanent foundation.
Correct.
These are going to be manufactured prefab homes.
And you put them up like on a, pad?
On a pad, but they're not on a foundation.
And you call them a trailer.
Yeah, you call them a manufactured home, mobile home park.
Okay.
And then they're registered through the DMV as opposed through?
They're registered to the California Department of Housing and the DMV, you're right.
It is the DMV, and you're paying what you're paying for is a like for a trailer vice a house.
It's just like building any more.
And I see, you know what, I see, and the reason I know, I've seen that before on the ocean, and you think they're homes, but they're not. They're trailers.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and
okay.
With our
park models.
Yeah.
I lived in one for
4 years. Okay.
Right.
Doug Christian, Kimberly Dunn, and Katie Sears. Well, why did it look like Cedrus? Is that your writing? It's mine. Okay. Katie,
no, it's mine, but it says Sears, clearly.
I know. I'm glad you all came on today.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you why. Is I'm one of these things that if you feed bears, bears will come. You know, build the field and they will come. You know, field
right.
of dreams. I understand what you're saying here. And I also understand is that this money does come from us. It comes from taxpayers. Oh, yeah, but it's earmarked. But it's still taxpayers' money. Yes. If you can prove to everybody that this is going to save money,
mm-hmm.
if it takes 40 people, and you're not going to get 100%. Let's just even say you get half of them. 50% of them that take that next step forward, they get a job and move on. Then you put another group in there. Then maybe that'll help. But you're going to have, I can tell you right now, depending on where you put it, you're going to have a battle from groups of people. You've got four of the six people running for office that are against this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of people that are against what you've done. But I think maybe they don't understand all the ramifications of it. Because, frankly, the first time I heard it, I went berserk.
You have a big message that needs to get to this
yes.
community, and you really are going to have to line your ducks up to make that work.
Yeah.
Because there's, again, that we're tired of bad behavior being enabled. We're tired of looking at the same people who have been in every program in Shasta County, and they just keep popping up in our garages and in our houses and stealing from us and burning us out. We want to be absolutely sure that we make a difference with this project, and you got a hard sell to convince the population that it's just not another government program.
I think that we need to also define the difference between AB 109 offenders who give some of the homeless people who do have problems as far as behavioral health or a substance abuse problem. People get those mixed up. There are a lot of offenders that are being dropped on the street who are homeless, but that's not who we're looking to be in our program.
And you are looking for that one group of the homeless that we say can, that want to be helped, and others that can't be helped because they are burnt out, you know, for one reason or another, and the ones that don't want help. I think this is a first step in explaining. I'm looking at this with a different look now, because I understand what you're doing here. I like the idea of the security. I like the idea it's not going to be a harbor site for bad people to make their drug deals and to go from there. But then again, the proof's in the pudding. As they say in combat, all plans end when the first round goes downrange.
Right.
So, as you know. Yeah. But I really appreciate you coming in, Doug. I want you to come in some more. I hope that you all feel like you're able to get out your message today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very
us.
Much for having us.
Kimberly and, of course, Katie. All right. Tomorrow. We got Ted Leidy coming in tomorrow. And so you know what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
My buddy there and a few other things. We're going to be talking a lot about Second Amendment plus a number of other people here. And Simpson University. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In a speech today on Capitol Hill, Ukraine's president appeals for U.S. help in the fight against pro-Russian rebels in his country.
Mr. Speaker, the president of Ukraine.
Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko addressing a joint meeting of Congress.
How symbolic is the unity of United States Congress and solidarity with Ukraine?
Poroshenko hoping to leave Washington with a commitment for more military and economic aid to help in the fight against separatists.
I urge you not to let Ukraine, not to let Ukraine stand alone in the face of this aggression.
So far, U.S. aid's been limited to some $60 million in mostly humanitarian aid. Wally Hines, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Australian authorities say they have foiled an ISIS plot to carry out a random beheading in